connected with the Spirit of God, not our minds. Our minds will always stop a move of God. We try to rationalize what it is. This don't even look right. You don't sound right. You just killed it. We have to learn to let God just move. The whole reason why God told us to name this the house of manna is he's going to rain down fresh word. It's your responsibility to go get it. And then it's your responsibility to bring it back into your home. But what happens is we want to just hoard up all the words. Give me another word. Pastor, give me another word. I'll give you A through R. What's that? All revelation is yours. So what are you going to do with it when it comes to you? The manna that was given on the weekend wouldn't spoil when it was brought in. But how come on Monday, if you were to gather more than what you were supposed to have, would spoil and would turn into maggots? It's to prove to you that God is in control. But it's your responsibility to get out of your tent, get out of your house, get out of your comfort zone, and go experience the supernatural of God taking place right outside of your home. And to bring that supernatural back into your homestead so that it can bless your home. It was significant because when the Ark of the Testimony would ever departed out of the presence of Israel and wherever it was at, the blessing of God was there. What was in the Ark of the Covenant? The manna. As a living testimony that God rained down provisions for you. Not just for food. Many of us need to be touched in that area that is hard to get rid of, that we've been covering up for a very long time. The pains of our heart, the pains of the past, the pains of letting go. And that's the area that God is saying, I will supply your need. You have to understand, I want to take away that pain. I even want to take away the memory of it. I want to take away the images that come into your mind daily because of what has transpired in your life. I want to take it away. I want to remove the hurt, the shame, even the guilt that plagues you because of the hurt that has come. Some have been hurt by other people in your life that you trusted. Some were hurt from church. And you hold on to that hurt, and you continue to live your life in the way, in the manner of being a victim. A victim mentality begins to release into your body things that are unhealthy for your body. And it comes through unforgiveness, strife, bitterness, anger, deceit. And there's an outward display of it. It'll come through you being so angry and mad that you'll push others around. The way you push is to keep them away from that area of your life because you don't want them that close. You develop callousness around your heart that you can no longer love, you can no longer care for, or have compassion for because you've been wounded so much in that area. You continue to do something that is not of Him. And God wants to bring healing and wholeness in that area. You may not have to know where it comes from, but just know this, it's there. Youth talked about it on Thursday, about bullying. You being bullied? Are you the bully yourself? The bully is the one that has an inward scar that they don't know how to deal with. and they push and put onto others because of their fears of being found out that they're fragile. And the ones that are being bullied have a tendency now to create something about themselves that were not really the ones they really are. In other words, their identity begins to change because of someone's outward expression towards them. And we have a people that are being formed by words of bullies. A spirit is a bully. Begins to push you around, speak to you, cause negative thoughts in your mind, and you developed a pattern of learned behaviors. Well, I didn't see this in the home, so I don't know how it's here, but it's through a lineage, and it happens, and we begin to walk it out and live it out, and we don't understand how to get rid of it because you don't even know where it came from. For many of you that know what it is to raise a garden or flowers, or did you ever plant seeds of weeds? But it starts to grow right along with the seeds that you planted, right? The Bible says this very clearly. They said unto the master, "Master, where did the weeds come from?" Is that night the thief came in and planted those seeds. In other words, at night you're unaware. You're not awake. You're not perceptive to what's going on. It came in. The Bible clearly states that we are not to deal with those weeds by themselves. You wait at harvest time so that you can pull the good seed and that bad seed up at the same time. The process that we go through is hard, but it's to remove what was choking you. The flowers or the fruits or the vegetables, the roots know there's something there that is not right. And it begins to choke out the life of the good seed. The good word that came to you begins to be choked out. And it comes from the soulless realm. And in that soulless realm, what happens is you begin to lose hope and faith. And you get to the point where you're vulnerable. Some of us give up, fall away, and we stop progressing forward. And God's plan all along was to bring you healing, wholeness, and a fruitful life of love, peace, joy. We're going to deal with it today. Point something out. When it gets quiet in here, y'all get very uncomfortable. The old pastor forgot something. No, I forget nothing. Silence is not a bad thing, guys. But silence is so deafening that it speaks very loud. We don't like for it to be quiet. Because your mind begins to race. And your mind begins to move about. And it will cause you to do things that you know you shouldn't do. Because you're uncomfortable with being silent. The prophet said that I perceive that God wasn't in the wind. Wasn't in the earthquake either. Wasn't in the thunder. But he didn't understand the small, still voice. And God is trying to get us to understand that. There's many voices in your life. Mr. Allen, go on, turn on both lights, please. Many of us have too many voices in our life. Too many. You listen to too many advice givers. Professional Dr. Phil's and Oprah's in your life. But you won't listen to the voice that speaks directly to your soul. I'm speaking because I know, as I see some things, I feel it, and I don't understand it myself. I don't have all the answers. I get frustrated just like you. I get mad just like you. I take my armor off just like you. And every day we wake up and we're trying to face another thing in our life, how are we going to deal with it? And so I'm gradually beginning to learn, is son, I'm going to let you stub your toe as many times as you want until you learn not to go that direction. But if you don't want to learn, I'll just walk right there with you and I'll stop. Because I know where you're headed. And after you stub your toe and say your beautiful praise words, I'll be right there with you still. We're human. We have faults. We make mistakes. But he's there with us. We just have to learn when to step and when to be still. We have a tendency to always want to run because the Bible says go. He didn't say where to go. He just said go. We think just because we get a little inclination on what's going on in the spirit, I got this thing. I got this. Let's go. Where are we going to go? You're just running right into trouble. We need to understand what God wants to do. He wants to bring wholeness to his people. And it starts with Y-O-U. How are we going to bring hope to someone out in the world if we don't have hope in here? How are we going to bring someone into the knowing knowledge of Jesus Christ if we ourselves don't know him? But we're quick to tell about a good movie we saw or a horrible movie we saw or a bad experience we had at a restaurant or a good experience we had at a restaurant. But when it comes to Jesus, we look for signs before we speak. Did they pray before they ate? Okay, then I know they're Christians. Then I'll speak. God is trying to get us beyond that, to trust him that when he speaks, you hear and you speak. And not to force anything to happen and force something on someone. He wants us whole. And we're going to be whole. The only way you become whole is through the word. Through the knowledge of him. Once you read it, you eat it, and it becomes part of you. So when something comes to test you, it comes out of you as fruit. Amen? Amen. I'll paraphrase a lot of, I've got so much notes in there, but I'm going to stay away from it. How many of you know the story of Lazarus? Raise your hand. So I'm going to paraphrase it. I know there's a lot of scholars in here and Bible thumpers. And then we have those that are still on milk, and it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. Mary and Martha were the sisters. Okay? So now you know there's three, right? Mary, Martha, Lazarus, yes? Mary, come stand right here, please. You, Inez, Mary. Martha, Sylvia, Martha, come over here. The reason why hands are in the pocket is for a reason. I have those cloths in my hands. The Bible says, and I know I'm going this way, and I have a tendency to go that way. The handkerchiefs and the aprons that were on Paul, they were on Paul, and then they were given out. So as I continue on this, I'm going to keep my hands on the cloths. Come here, Lazarus. I'm going to give you an illustration so you can see. Hopefully the kids will see and you have an understanding as well. Where are my kids? All the kiddos, can I have you sit right here in the middle aisle, in the aisle? All the little kids, you're fine. You're fine. All the little kids, you can sit right there, crisscross applesauce right there. That's good. Yeah, crisscross applesauce. That's okay. Sit down. There you go. Can y'all see, though? Can you see? Michael, scoot over just a little bit. Sylvia, okay. Okay. We got all the kids? Good, good. Say Lazarus. Martha. I want to hear the kids. Come on, kids, say it. It's okay. Now's your time to scream. You're quiet the whole time in church. Now's the time. You can. Mary. All right. So who is this over here? Who is this? Who is this? Martha. Say it loud. And who's this over here? All right. Who's this over here? Jesus. Say Jesus. Jesus. Well, I'm going to get these kids to understand something. And me teaching these kids, some of you adults are going to learn. Nothing wrong with that. Some of y'all don't read the Bible. It's okay. The Bible speaks about how Lazarus fell sick. He fell sick. He fell sick. Mary and Martha sent word. Who do you want to pick as a messenger, Martha? Messenger. Who's a messenger? Okay, who's David? No. And here. Pick out a messenger. Pick out a messenger. Okay. Come on, Edith. Come on, Edith. Edith. Okay. Okay, Edith. Okay. Send. Whew. Send Edith to Jesus about their brother falling sick. Follow the story. No, not to Lazarus, but to Jesus. Now here comes, watch this. Now watch this. They send a message to Jesus that Lazarus, his friend, has fallen ill. Right? So she tells Jesus, Lazarus, your friend, the one you love, Lazarus is sick. So then she goes back. Okay? She goes back to Mary and Martha. Now Jesus was told about Lazarus, right? That he was sick. Now, it's just like your prayers going up to God that you're battling with an ailment. Jesus don't come right away. He processes some things. He deals with some other things in your life or somebody else's life before he comes to you. But guess what was established first? Relationship with Lazarus. Read the scripture. It speaks about how they said that Lazarus, the one that you love. Y'all know you're loved, right? You all know that you're loved by God, do you not?
Yeah.
You all know you're loved by Jesus, right?
Amen.
And then he still don't come. Matter of fact, he waits 3 days and begins the journey to another place. See, what happened is, have you ever had, you know, you wanted to get the popcorn and the hot dog and the drink at the movies? Huh? And you know the movie's getting ready to start, but mama's taking forever to go get everything? Yeah, and you're like, well, it's going to start, hurry up, it's going to start. And what would happen if you didn't get your popcorn, your hot dog, and your drink? You'd be a little upset, right? You say, the movie just was not the same. Because you didn't have what you wanted, right? Okay. Now, what happened was, now Jesus did not go to them right away. Jesus wanted to go in a different direction. Sometimes you feel like Jesus goes away from you. But yet you still have the infirmity. You got your sickness. You got your issues. Then the next thing you know, they send the messenger again. This time, he's fallen asleep. They said he's dead. He says, do not trouble going because Lazarus is dead. You're telling me that. Okay. So now you go back. Let me tell the story. That's a good one right there. We always want to get ahead of God.
Yes, we do.
Now watch, this is what I'm trying to show you. You have sent message after message after message. You fasted, you prayed, you've done everything that you know to do, and still God doesn't come through. God, if you don't come through, I'm about to kill somebody. If you don't show up, I'm going to lose my salvation. My neck's about to pop in three directions. Okay? Because we get sideways. Come on. Y'all know how y'all act. Some of y'all take the weave off. Some of y'all take the earrings off. And some of y'all take the eyelashes off. Because y'all about ready to get in your flesh. Now watch. I'm proving to you truth right now. Because watch what happens. They hear that Jesus is now on the way. Jesus tells the disciples, oh, he's not dead. He's only fallen asleep. He's okay. So we're coming. So he begins now. Now he's coming to a time in your life where you think there is no more hope. Because it's gone on too long. Oh, this is so good. So now there's no more need of a messenger. The messenger can sit down. Thank you, messenger. We love you. You did a wonderful job. Round of applause for the messenger. Messenger, see? What's this? Who's the first one that runs to Jesus? Who's the first one? Martha. Now watch this. This is what Martha tells Jesus. If you had come... Say it loud. They can't.
He would not be dead.
The kids can't hear you.
He would not be dead.
Right?
If he would have come.
If you would have come, he would have not have died.
That's right.
Now, go back now. Go back. Now watch. This is what Martha tells Mary now. Jesus never said to go get Mary. Look, watch this. This is what happens. We have a tendency to tell other folks. You know, we kind of tattletale. You know, tattletale on others. Tattletale, that's right. And now she says, Jesus would like to see you. So here comes Mary. Watch this. Come on. Mary.
I don't remember. No, I'm
scared. Mary says the exact same thing that Martha did. If you would have come, he wouldn't have died. Correct?
So you mean
say it to them.
Okay, look. If he would have came when we sent the first messenger, he wouldn't have died.
Okay. What about the second messenger?
Yeah.
And well, what about your sister?
Yeah, her too.
Her too.
You should have picked someone else.
No, you did good, baby. You did good. Okay. You did good. So now watch this. Watch. Now they're crying together. Go boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Cry. They're boo-hooing together, showing you a story. Ooh. Now they're walking out, and they're going to the tomb. Watch this. Now here's what I'm going to tell you some things. Now watch. Let me set the rest of this up. Many of us have issues in our life that we bandage up, we close together, and we just cover up. We just cover up. How many, have you ever had a boo-boo on your arm, you had to put a Band-Aid? Huh? You know what Band-Aids are, right? You put Band-Aids on? Okay, it's to protect your wounds, right? To protect your cut or when you fall down. It's the same thing that we do as older issues in our life. We just cover it up. We just cover things up. We mask it. It even says how they prepared the burial for him, that they put on clothing and they wrapped him up real good all the way, and then they put... oil and myrrh over him. Understand that when you would, basically there was no embalming, okay? So there was not a morgue they took him through. What they did is wrapped him in grave clothes, so they would wrap him up together. Just like we do, all the stuff that's in our life that's dead, we just kind of cover it up. Even though it stinks, we just put more perfume and oil on it. Just so that it smells like it's something holy and it's okay and acceptable because there's oil on it. You know, if I put the anointing on it, you go, oh, I'm in church. Some of y'all, when you go by the Christian store and you go to the oil and you go, oh, this, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that's the frankincense and myrrh. That's the oil of joy. Okay, because why? Because it brings to your remembrance of something that you once had that you would only have in church or around a religious setting. So what we do is have a tendency to cover up the wounds or the issues in our life, and then we make it smell good even though it's stinking. You understand? Have you ever taken off the Band-Aid over a wound that this flesh has come off, and if you left it on a little bit too long, you don't smell real good. Matter of fact, if you really smell it, it smells ugly. You don't even want to touch it because it's nasty. But you're more willing to cover it up as opposed to dealing with it. So some of the issues in our life are going to need to die before he comes through for you. Instead of trying to keep it alive and trying to resuscitate it and give it mouth to mouth and pump it on the chest for it to come back to life, because maybe God wants it to die so that the glory can be revealed. So the delay, watch it, I'm just talking about Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. That's it. The delay does not mean he's not going to come. The delay is he's going to set it up for something bigger. Amen. And in that transpire of dialogue that he had with Mary, she said, I know that in the last day he will resurrect. So she had some sort of understanding that he would come to life someday. When we have an understanding, we'll hold on to it, but yet we'll still roll a stone in front of it. We'll still hide it. The Bible clearly states that anything that is hidden shall be revealed. There's nothing that is hidden that will not be revealed. Anything that is hidden will be revealed. Anything that you hide is going to come out of the darkness and into its marvelous light. Anything that you want to keep away from people and not finding out, he's going to bring to the surface so it can be found out. Anything that you act like you don't think anybody's watching. He's going to make other people see it. But he's not going to make other people see it so that they can judge you. He's going to make them see it so they can pray for you. See, what happens is we have a tendency to cover things up, make it smell like it's churchy, make it look like it's good, and as we cover everything up, we just kind of have to roll a stone in front of it so that we can be hidden away from some things. Some things need to die before he shows up on the scene. Jesus now walks to where they laid him, and he tells them, roll the stone away. Roll the stone away. Okay, no, they got ahead of God again because the two women were never going to be able to roll that stone away. And women are strong, too. I know that. They're strong. But they ain't going to roll it. What he did is when he said, roll the stone away, he spoke to the Pharisees and the Sadducees because he's going to show them something, because the stone represented the religious mindset that was going to be addressed at that moment. Roll that stone away so you can see the glory of God. And as they sat there, this is what happens. The Bible says that the shortest sentence in the Bible is that Jesus wept. Right? We all wonder, well, why? Oh, that was his close friend. He wept for them. He wept because he knew where he was in a better place already. He was where his father is. And to bring him back. How many of us bring people back when you know they're in a good place? We bring them back because we're soulishly tied in with them. Soul ties. That means you have some friends in your life. Look at me, children. You have some friends in your life. Have they ever made you mad? Yeah, they make you mad, right? And then sometimes you just don't even want to play with them no more. Leave my Hot Wheels alone because my Hot Wheels. Or you can't even play with my pickup sticks because those are my sticks. You can't pick them up. Now, you're supposed to be dead. Now, those are my checkers. You can't play with my checkers. My Connect Four is my Connect Four, not yours, right? So we get a little bit upset. We get a little bit mad. What happens is we bring on that same attitude in everyday life with everybody around us, and we get mad, and we don't want to share with nobody the good news of Jesus Christ. Because we just let it stay with us, and we don't let it go out to others, because as we reveal more of him, they're going to reveal more of me. Y'all missed that one. Because the more you speak about Jesus, he reveals what he did in your life. And you begin to start telling your testimony. They're like, that was you? I would have never guessed because he hid that. Because he hid it. And he allowed you to bring it forth. And when you brought it forth, you got total deliverance. Understand? Now watch. I'll go through this a little bit quicker. Now, in grave clothes, covered up, all the wounds, the issues in your life have been covered up by others in your life. By others. They put all these grave clothes on you. They put them on you, and they put you in a dark place, and they let you die in your issue. Jesus now walks up to this tomb. They roll the stone away, and this is what Jesus said. Father, in his mind, I know you hear me. I know you hear me. But for these people that are standing by so they can see the glory of God in your goodness, then the next sentence says, he shouted out, Lazarus, come forth. Okay. Now, kind of hop around like you're a mummy because you're all tight. Okay. Now watch. Put that over his head. Maybe put that over his head. Hey, Mary, okay.
Cover his face,
yeah. Okay. Now look, y'all know what a mummy is, right? You know what mummies are? They're all wrapped in the bandages, it's all white and it covered up and everything. Okay, now that's how Lazarus came out of the tomb. This is what Jesus now says. Doesn't say to Mary and Martha to take off the grave clothes. He says to the spiritual people, the religious folks, remove those grave clothes. Why would he say that to them as opposed to the ones that love him? Huh? So,